All right, so this morning, I would like to continue my look into some very special people from the Bible, well, one in particular. As we know, this chap's name is Jonathan, and what I would like to do is I would like to focus on a bunch of his characteristics. So this sermon is entitled, Who is Your Jonathan? And at this point, I'd like to say, no, Tudor family. Just because you know the answer, it doesn't mean you can go to sleep for the next 20 minutes. So, who is your Jonathan? To be honest with you, it's... Well, there's Katie. She's out there, out the back. She can hear me, and she's still laughing. All right. Hey, it's a bit of a funny question, really, this who is your Jonathan? But I'll tell you what, I think it makes a lot more sense when we know a little bit of Jonathan's character, and how he was, and how he treated his very best friend, David. So, speaking of friends, have you guys ever sat down and worked out exactly how many friends you have? That's a bit of a funny question, isn't it? No hands? No? Just me then? Did you know that I have exactly 237 friends? And what's more, I have more on a waiting list. Facebook tells me. And I am sorry at this point if I haven't accepted your friend request. So, you know, when I was at school, it seemed really important for most people to have loads of friends on Facebook. And now, many years later, it seems like all my friends want to do is get rid of their friends on Facebook. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's easy to have lots of friends these days. All you've got to do is just click on the friend request button on your Facebook page. But what is the true measure of friendship? Can somebody actually be a friend to 237 people? You know, I'm confident that Jonathan would have not have been too bothered by Facebook. He seemed a man who understood true friendship, and he did everything in his power to be a true and loyal friend to David. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. Lord, we ask that you join us now and teach us. May our hearts be open and receptive to you. Thank you, Lord, that you've created us to be in fellowship with each other and to be true friends and to shine your light to the world around us. Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, may you bless us with understanding. Fill us afresh with a desire to serve you. May your will be done. Amen. So I think it's time to set the scene, really, about Jonathan. And firstly, in setting the scene, I'd like to tell you all that Jonathan lived roughly 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. We know that Jonathan was the son of Saul. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 14. And Saul became Israel's first king at the age of 30, and he ruled for 42 years. And throughout Saul's reign, Israel was in regular battles with the Philistines, and Jonathan was a courageous leader in his father's army. So what does Scripture say about Jonathan? Firstly, I want to try and paint a bit of a picture for you guys, perhaps re-jog our memories for the kind of man that Jonathan was. And so I have a few key verses here. Now, they are a little bit, they're not jumbled up, but they do sort of jump from bit to bit. So you'll have to sort of work with me here, all right? Right, so the first mention of Jonathan is in 1 Samuel 13:2, when he defeated a garrison of Philistines at Geba. Does anyone know what a garrison is? One person, and he's on the sound desk. All right, so a garrison is a military or fortified post, and Geba was a place where the Philistines had a stronghold. See, later on in chapter 14, verse 1, Jonathan, taking only his armor bearer, snuck away from Saul's army at Geba, and he captured an outpost at Michmash. Jumping ahead again in 1 Samuel, we read in 18, 1 to 3, as soon as he had finished speaking with Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul, and Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David. because he loved him as his own soul. In the next verse, we see Jonathan took off his robe that he was wearing and he gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Then it seems that Saul gets a bit grumpy. In chapter 19, we see that Saul tries to kill David. Saul told his son Jonathan and all those in attendance to kill David, but Jonathan had taken a great liking to David, and he warned him, "My father Saul is looking for the chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go and hide and stay there." So now we've got a PowerPoint. Now the thing is with these things is that they have a tendency to go interestingly, sort of crazy-like, especially when I put them together. So we've got Peter down the end that's going to give me a hand. And so this one here, it's going to tell us about some more about Jonathan. And what I wanted to do was to highlight, one, what I think Jonathan was entitled to do, and two, what Jonathan chose to do. Can you see that? Just? All right, so you'll have to listen to me at the same time. So I believe that Jonathan, he was entitled, because he was a successful warrior, he was entitled to keep the glory for himself. But what he did was he chose to give the glory back to God. He was entitled to be the king of Israel, but he trusted the prophet Samuel and he gave away his kingdom. He could have given away the bare minimum. I probably would have thought about doing that if it was me. But he gave away everything. He certainly was entitled to follow the king's orders and to kill David, but instead he warned David of the king's plans to kill him. He was entitled to have a rather bad or stink attitude about giving away the kingdom, and he could have at that point really resented David. But in humility, Jonathan had a huge love and respect for David, who was to be king. You know, by the world standards, I think Jonathan had just about everything. He was strong, he was fit, he was clever. He had authority, power, respect, and he was a great warrior. And let's not forget, he was next in line to be king. But what was Jonathan remembered for? Sure, he was remembered for his true friendship with David. Also, I think, and rather importantly, Jonathan was characterized by and remembered for the choices that he made to honor God. Yes, his day job was to be a leader and a warrior in his father's army, but his trust in the Lord and his faithfulness allowed God to bring out other qualities in him also. And these are the qualities that made Jonathan such a true friend to David. So we're going to have a look at these qualities now. I have three of them for you. The first one is that Jonathan was a godly man and he had a great faith in the Lord. And the key to it all, I think, as well, is that he put it to action. Yeah. All right, so we can see an example of this in Samuel 14:6. And we've heard this briefly before, but it's good. So here we see Jonathan decides to leave the safety of his camp. Now, just earlier I told you that Jonathan was clever. Perhaps not so at this point. He leaves the safety of his camp in complete secret, without telling anybody. He takes with him only his armor bearer. Now, just getting to the Philistine camp was no walk in the park. The two camps had a deep and treacherous ravine that separated them. But Jonathan's faith in the Lord helped both he and his armor bearer to cross over. And not only that, his faith in God was used to help him and his servant defeat the Philistines. Jonathan's words to his armor bearer that day are really awesome, and I want to share them with you. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrisons. Let us go over the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving, by many or by few." So Jonathan and his armor bearer moved quickly. They climbed the side of the ravine and they killed around 20 Philistines. This was an incredible act in itself. But then God, he added to it. He spread panic through the Philistine camp, for the Philistines knew that God was fighting for Jonathan, and they knew that God was fighting for the Israelites. The second quality I want to bring out is that Jonathan had a pure heart, and it showed in the fullness of his love towards others. In 1 Samuel 18, 1-4, when David had finished speaking with Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe he was wearing and he gave it to David, and his armor, even his sword and his belt. Jonathan loved his friend David completely, and this is the true nature of his love. Verse 4 says that he stripped himself of the robe that he was wearing and he gave it to David, and his armor, even his sword, his bow and his belt. Does anyone here have like an older brother or a sister or something? Any hands? One, two, all right. A bunch of hands. You guys might know this well then. Perhaps, yeah, well, I had a couple of older sisters. Yeah, we'll go into this. So, this is not actually an act. Him stripping himself of his armor is not an act of Jonathan giving David his hand-me-downs. We must understand that Jonathan's clothing represented his military leadership, his standing, and most importantly, his position as heir to the throne. And then, when we see that Jonathan gave David his sword, this is very important, because in chapter 13, verse 22, it tells us that Saul and Jonathan, who had the two last swords left in all of Israel. And as Jonathan then gives his sword to David, it's very significant, and it shows that Jonathan is prepared to give all that he has to his best friend, David. Jonathan understood that David is to be the next king of Israel. And you know what is quite special? Is he didn't appear to have a problem with that. You know, I think he had a marvelous attitude. Jonathan was responsible for starting their friendship, and he was also the one that sacrificed more in their friendship by giving all that he did and by sacrificing so much. Jonathan demonstrates real love and a real friendship. Ruth Rusin says, "Love is not an even exchange. It's a sacrifice. Even when love is mutual, as it was between Jonathan and David, one party normally ends up giving more than another." Is that the same for you guys? No? Okay. All right. So one party sometimes gives more than another. And it might be that one party gives a lot more than another. But nobody's keeping score. And when we think about it, isn't it great that Jesus isn't keeping score? It was Jonathan's pure heart and love for David that made him such a true friend. In Proverbs 22:11, it says, "He who loves purity of heart, whose speech is gracious, will have the king as a friend." And Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." So the third quality that I want to highlight today is loyalty. And Jonathan was exceptionally loyal to those he loved. Jonathan was a selfless man, and he was extremely loyal to those he loved. As we read in the story of Jonathan, we start to see quite early on that he knew that he wasn't going to replace his father as king over Israel. Now, I'd like you to get your imaginations out here for a bit, just for a minute. And what I would like you to do is imagine that you were a warrior. Now, I understand that this will be harder for some of you, okay, but we're going to try and do it. Okay, so, and if you're struggling, I'm going to try and help you along with it. So imagine that you are a successful warrior, and you're tall, you're handsome, you've got chiseled abdominals, you've got beautifully crafted pectorals, and a radiant olive suntan to boot. That's all right? That's fair enough? Okay. Okay, so, and bit by bit, so you're a handsome bloke. Okay, and bit by bit, you saw another younger man, about 10 years younger, cut of the same cloth, rise up the ranks, all the while you knew that he, David, was going to rule over Israel. Can't you imagine just having times stood there? You might stand there, you've got your full armour on, full kit on, bit of chest hair flinging out everywhere. And just standing there and just thinking, man, this is a bit stink. It was all set up for me. I was supposed to be king. Don't you think you would just be a little bit bitter about that? I think potentially I could have been. So I think that Jonathan must have had an incredible trust in the Lord. It was almost as if the throne was secondary in Jonathan's thinking, or of little consequence to him. It seemed, in fact, that he was much more interested in mending the relationships between his father and David. He did everything he could to reconcile the two, even with the knowledge that he would gain nothing more than he already had, which is the purest and truest kind of loyalty, a God-glorifying, unconditional love and loyalty. Don't let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart, so that you will find favour and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Proverbs 3:3-4. I'm not sure if I've got this point across yet, but when I think of Jonathan and his example to us, the thing that grabs me the most is that, yes, he was a successful warrior. And for many of us, especially from a worldly perspective, we might think that Jonathan has done enough. We might think he's achieved enough. But it's almost like God has said to Jonathan, I want you to be more than just a warrior. Trust in me, and I'll show you. And I sort of believe that that's what the Lord is telling us today. He wants us to be more than accountants or sales reps or nurses, teachers or even youth workers. He wants us to trust in him and allow him to finish the work that he started in our lives. He wants his amazing qualities to be shining out of our lives so that we can be Jonathans to others in our lives. Friends like Jonathan can be hard to find. They can be hard to come across. But as we've learnt this morning, a friend like Jonathan is of tremendous value. And if you have a Jonathan or a Jonathan-like friend in your life, treat them well. Look after them. But if you don't, you could always ask the Lord for one. And as you do, I hope that you can also ask the Lord to help you and the qualities that you have so that you could be more and more like a Jonathan for somebody else. Lastly, I'd like us not to forget that we have a great example of a friend in the New Testament also. He's our Father, our Lord, and our King. But often I think we forget that he desires to be a brilliant friend to us, our true friend. Christ not only teaches us how to be a friend, but he demonstrates the type of people we're to be friends with. And then ultimately, he shows us just how much he wants to be friends with each of us. So to finish up this morning, I'd like to share a couple of special verses with you from the book of John. And my hope is that these words from Jesus will encourage us to follow the example he's set for each of us to become greater friends. So the first one is from John 13, 34-35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And John 15:12-15. No greater love has none than this, that that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. That's it. Thanks very much.